Look who's back. Javier Haas has decided to grace us with his international man of mystery Argentinian action figure presence. What were you doing, dude? We missed you on Tuesday.
I had an excuse to miss the show, but we're going to tell people all about it after the credits. But before that, how are you, Mr. Lane?
I'm good. I'm excited. A lot's happening today. I got to tell you, yesterday was a slow day news-wise, but today picked up some major news headlines that I think we can touch on. And then we have two guests on the show today. Two amazing C-suite leaders in the cannabis space. I'm so excited. This is going to be a really, really good show, y'all. An MSO leader, a massive brand leader across multiple states. But let's get started. Let's not waste any more time about, you know, talking about how excited we are for the show. Let's just get to it. Javi, you know, I just saw at the end of our credits, if you're listening to this on podcasts, we'll try and make this not terrible radio for you. But in our opening credits, there is industry trends at the end there. And a new trend, it seems pretty promising. I would imagine we're going to see more public cannabis companies move this way. But it just seems like positive reactions from TerrAscend's TSX uplisting. Oh, yeah. You've seen that, but Jason Wild just tweeted out that, if I can find it, basically Morgan Stanley has taken them off the block list. They are officially just like any other stock for Morgan Stanley when it comes to people trading TSX listed opportunities.
Very cool.
That seems big, right?
Man, it's little steps that make, you know, that lead to the mainstreaming of cannabis, right? The reason why I was out in Tuesday as well was, so the Inter-American Development Bank and the Advanced Leadership Foundation, in coordination with a provincial government in Argentina in a province called Entre Ríos, very interesting province, hosted it's you know, the trade forum, their commercial missions, right? And this is one of the top financiers for governments in the entire region, right? In the Americas, actually. And for the first time ever, they had a cannabis as one of the industries they were looking at. They were looking at like blueberries and agriculture in general and ports. And suddenly we have cannabis in there. And again, it's little steps that show you how traditional institutions are embracing cannabis very slowly. Morgan Stanley, the IDB, you know, it's little...
You see it across the board in the U.S. too. They're inching in with CBD, really, is the first entrant, for especially for sports leagues. But eventually, you'll have medical cannabis, ideally, probably for sports.
It'll be medical. Since you bring it up, we have two actual news items that were pretty interesting.
Ooh, hit us.
What you're mentioning, right? One of them is related to sports. Charlotte's Web continues to forge partnerships in the wild. That was a reminder in the sports world, and now they are the official CBD for the Premier Lacrosse League. That is Charlotte's Web again, CWBA Jeff, if you're interested. And another one is out of Meta, right? The owner of Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, now also Threads. They teamed up with a company called Legit Script to certify CBD products and websites for a potential advertising on their platforms as well. So, you know, two other big moves on. And as you mentioned, Elliot, the approach through the CBD route, which I think is much more welcoming for many who are somewhat concerned.
For the mainstream household names. Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree, man. It's interesting, just a quick, more specific note from your point, however encouraging that is. It seems like from the Charlotte's Web board of directors kind of kerfluffle about a month ago, it sounds like the MLB is still engaged and still settled in with that, because they were a major shareholder, aren't they? Aren't they a major part of the process when it comes to leadership there? I would imagine that this is something that is optimistic if you're a Charlotte's Web shareholder.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, here's the thing, like endorsements and partnerships, are not particularly correlated to the financial aspect, you know, and I mean the financial management of a company, right? It's it doesn't really matter what happens with a like the general public, the general.
I disagree. Only because of outward perception. Like, and perhaps our first guest, Howard Schachter, the CMO of Merimed, maybe he'll shoot this down. Maybe he'll agree with you. Maybe he'll agree with me. It doesn't really matter. But at the end of the day, I think perception of a company's management is very important for a mainstream brand to get involved with them. To me, the MLB is not going to be involved in a company that is warring from the inside in their C-suites and board of directors.
Fair enough.
But that's just a point.
Do you want to bring on Howard and you know?
You know what? This is a super cool news item, and I think we'll just get it from the mouth of the man himself. Let's do it, Aaron Thomas. Let's bring over Howard Schachter from Merimed. Just get the groove on with that transition music, man. Howard, how are you, my guy?
You know, I was just thinking about that music. It's going to be in my head all day. Is that stock, or do the two of you play instruments? Or
what's Oh, that's all Aaron there? Thomas. He records, he plays, he sings. Wow. The do.
Love it.
Oh,
love
dude, how are you?
You have that whenever I go to bat. From now on, that's my music. That's my intro music.
Listen, it puts you in that chill, that groove, man. It's good. But Howard, you've had a big week, man. Can you tell us why? And honestly, you're the best looking guy in the room right now. So give us a little hint of what's going on.
It's all about the Merimed's Boston 280E THC party, a mouthful. Anyway,
all good. The THC party is perfect.
That is, I like it.
The THC. So look, 250 years ago, the most famous tax protest in our nation's history took place right where I am in Boston, the Boston Tea Party. So we're a proud Massachusetts resident. We took a page out of our ancestors' playbook to put a spotlight on the absurdity of 280E. And we did it in a fun way. You know, we wanted to show that companies, small and large in this industry, pay absurd taxes. And what happens when companies pay high taxes? Cost of business goes up, and who ends up being the real payer of that? It ultimately becomes the consumer with higher price tags. And look, when we're trying to battle the illicit market as best as we can, the last thing we need is to lose on prices. So we stormed a schooner. We chanted for a repeal of 280E through a rescheduling or descheduling of our beloved drug. And we threw boxes of weed into the harbor, at least boxes that say weed. Nothing in them, and they were fished out immediately.
You see, it's black market weed. Yeah, that's awesome, Howard. Just a quick follow up, and then you know, I'm sure Javi has some questions, but I'd love to get to the brainchild aspect of this marketing. But when it comes to the repeal of 280E, you know, it's something that I think many in the space are more excited about than safe banking getting through the Senate. You know, and I think both are necessary, you know, for different parts of the industry, you know, for these social equity, you know, license holders that haven't begun, they need these banks, right? You know, so I'm not giving that any less importance, but the 280E obviously affects everybody. But what is the first thing, like, what is the overall sentiment the day after? What's the first thing that happens when 280E is repealed?
Well, I guess there's overwhelming rejoice of it for folks that really understand the impact. And I think you framed it well, and we could go, you know, you could devote full episodes to this, of course. 280E is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And it isn't honestly so much for Merimed. We know how to navigate it. You guys have been very kind in reporting the fact that we're a financially disciplined company. We understand the ramifications and always have and can manage around it. But there are smaller folks, whether it's social equity applicants or any small business person who focuses on dispensary ownership, that really has no idea when they go into business what that first year tax bill is going to look like. And in many cases, it could translate to survival or thriving, you know? So I think once that goes away, you're talking about profitability, skyrocketing to the right side, right? Because 280 could translate to double or more in taxes that you pay. That's a big nut when you're talking about profitability. That's a huge nut. So I think general rejoicing. I just wish there was more talk about it than there's been. Blumenauer has been all over it, which is great, but it's not in SAFE, at least to my knowledge. It isn't even being discussed as part of SAFE. And it won't happen until rescheduling or descheduling happens. And we know that that's far off.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, also as well, if you ask me, this is a personal opinion, right? But, you know, SAFE is important, but it mainly affects cannabis businesses, right? 280E, as you said, is passed on to the consumer. But even worse, it's passed on to the patients. People who use medical cannabis are being taxed at astronomical rates. They're paying extra for their medicine. And then we have politicians who are appalled by the pharmaceutical industry's price gouging. And what we're doing is gouging people through taxes in this specific case. And you know, people who watch this show consistently know I love taxes, but not when you're taxing medicine.
Mm-hmm. 100%, man. I wish you were on the boat, Avi.
Yeah.
And that's why we say, in a very literal sense, we feel like there's no representation with this taxation. Like, they got it right 250 years ago. You know, we aren't being represented the way we should at the federal level. Now, I have to say, states like Massachusetts, Illinois, Maryland, we operate in all three. I think somewhere like 17 others, they've given some form of 280 relief to companies, but anybody watching knows the difference of your state taxes versus federal, it's peanuts. So it's a drop in the, it's a step in the right direction, but it's a drop in the bucket.
Love it. Sorry. Mute button. Got me. So Howard,
you sound like my wife.
It gets me like once every other month. Like it's like a steady, oh, it's time for that. All right. So one more question from me. I'm really curious from the marketing side, right? You know, this is your specialty. This is where you come in, and marketing in cannabis has to just, you know, that is education, right? Education is just good marketing, and that's what this is, right? So tell me a little bit about the marketing benefit that MariMed and really just the cannabis sector in general can get from more large awareness campaigns such as this.
Right. It's a great question. The truth is, at the primary focus here was, we feel like as a bigger company and a thriving company, we have a platform to get word out in a way that the smaller guy really can't, and certainly consumers can't. So this really was about thought leadership and doing something that's not as wonky as what's going on in DC halls with lobbying, to get this message out in a fun way, because we're in a fun industry, but with a serious message. It started there, but it would be disingenuous to not suggest at the same time that just continues the momentum. We as a company like to think of ourselves as zigging when everybody else zags, and doing some innovative marketing things to put some luster on the corporate brand of MariMed and you know, and at the state level on our brands and our dispensary brands too. We like to think a little bit more strategically. We like to think that we know how to tap into media psyche and consumer psyche to know what would hit and when. You mentioned it earlier, slow news day. We knew sports wasn't going on, probably not a lot in cannabis was going on. So we sort of thread the needle on timing. If it helps our brand, it gets our retail investor world psyched and pumped that we're doing something interesting and different, which is part of why they invest in a company like ours, we'll take it. But it wasn't the priority.
Amen. So Howard, we're going to turn on the video now, my friend. But thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. Best looking guy we've had on, I think, for a while.
Oh my God. Well, I wear this outfit once a week, so the timing just ended up working out.
That's what
perfectly.
It was. That's
hey, it. Visit MariMed.com to learn more. I love you guys. Look forward to seeing you guys at your conference in a few months, and have a great rest of the summer. Thanks.
Wait, before you leave, just stand up for a second. I want to see the entire attire, the coat.
Oh, dude. You're calling me out.
He didn't put the pants on. Come on, Avi.
Hey, a little bit. Just a little bit.
I don't have. This is as far as I'm. It's as far as I'm going down, guys.
He looks great.
It's hot as Hades in Boston.
For it's everybody looking in,
I need my voice to breathe.
Yeah. So Howard, thank you so much, my friend. Really appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Always.
All right, and Aaron Thomas, let's take a look at this video.
No taxation without representation, down with 280E. No taxation without representation, down with 280E. No taxation without representation, down with 280E. No taxation without representation, down with
280E. Hear ye, hear ye. Ye faithful Merrimack patriots. 250 years ago at this very same Boston Harbor, our colonial ancestors held the most famous tax protest in our great nation's history, the Boston Tea Party. Today we have stormed this schooner to protest an unfair tax. It's a tax that burdens our beloved cannabis industry, and it hurts the American consumers we serve. Because of Section 280E, cannabis businesses in our fine country pay much higher taxes than they should. And the citizens of this fair land pay higher prices for the safe and effective products we produce. At MariMed, we say no more! Tell your representatives in the federal government to repeal IRS code 280E now. Until they do, we say no taxation without
representation,
down with 280E. No taxation without representation, down with 280E. Join me in this protest. Down with 280E.
No taxation without representation, down with 280E.
No taxation without representation, down with 280E.
I love
no
it.
Taxation without representation. Down with 280E.
Out ducks the brownie, dude.
I think so. I think this ups it. Yeah. Howard keeps raising his bar.
250 years ago, the most famous tax protest in history, in this land's history, took place in this very harbor called the Boston Tea Party. So we're paying homage to our ancestors and doing the same thing as we're burdened with a similar unfair tax in this wonderful cannabis industry called the 280E. We're bringing awareness to this tax code in hopes that we can get our people to repeal and go to the federal government, their representatives, and vote to repeal this burdenous tax code, right? Because the people who are really feeling the pain from this tax code is the consumer, right? They're paying much higher prices at the registers for their cannabis.
That is awesome. That is insane. People watching, tell us in the comments what you think. We
got to
keep this show clipping, but drop your thoughts in the comments box. If you're watching after the fact, go to our social media, drop a comment on our socials, tag us, BZ Cannabis. Tell us what you thought about this and if you agree, if we should be repealing 280E. If 280E is taxation without representation, I know I do think that. But now let's get to our next guest. We have Josh Hershey. He's the president of Timeless Refinery.
Awesome brand.
And
awesome brand.
Fits perfectly with the theme right now.
Yeah.
So
this is great. Let's bring him on over. Josh, welcome in. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys? Hi, Elliot. Hi, Javier.
Good to see you, Josh. Good to have you on today, sir. We're teasing Timeless Refinery a little bit. It's a great, great brand. I feel like you've been on the rise the past couple of years very quickly, but why don't you tell us a little bit in more detail, a little bit more about you guys?
Great. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate that, Elliot. Yeah. I mean, we've actually been in the cannabis space. We're celebrating our 10th year in cannabis this year. So, and we always like to joke that, you know, cannabis is like dog years. So we're really getting up there in age, but, you know, it's been a real fun ride for us. We originally started out as a streetwear lifestyle clothing brand back in 2010. And when we went medical in AZ in 2012, pivoted over there and we're one of the first vapes, you know, first vape in Arizona for sure. And maybe one of the first vapes in the country back in 2012. And, you know, over time, really, really kind of always focused on what we thought would be the winning formula from a brand perspective, which is that consumer engagement, really building authenticity, being consistent, you know, being part of the culture and the community and the markets we were in, you know, starting with Arizona where we grew up and you know, partnering with the right artists and the right restaurants and really being that cool local brand and, you know, learn how to improve the quality of the product. We're really early in distillation. We're one of C-Cell's first customers. So we always say you can't have a great brand without a great product. So we want to make sure we had a great product and then really build that consumer loyalty. So in the long term, you know, we had people coming and looking for our product because they felt, you know, connected to it, not just looking for price. But it's been a wild ride. We've launched now in four other states outside of Arizona and looking to launch a couple more this year and next, and really just keep building that national CPG type brand, but doing it in a very local and authentic way. We want people to feel like, you know, that we're a national brand, but we're in every market we're in, we're that cool local brand.
I love that. And you've also pivoted or transitioned a little bit into other products, right? Like pre-rolls. And I mean, you're not just doing concentrates right now. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. Javi, yeah, we started out with vape, and that's still our bread and butter. And that's what we lead into with new markets. And that's still, you know, a huge part of our business. But we also felt like, you know, we had a really good playbook on how to build brands and how to really bring brands to life locally. And so, especially in Arizona, we felt like, hey, we can launch some additional brands and really incubate them out here in AZ, where we have great customer loyalty, great distribution and dispensary partners. And as we kind of build those brands and work through the kinks of them, then we can bring them out to the other markets. So we've launched a few other brands in the last couple of years. One we're most excited about is Tumble by Timeless, which is our infused pre-roll. It's been doing really well out in the AZ market, and we're just going to start launching it into some of our other markets this year. So excited about, you know, building a real house of brands over time.
And what's the response to the naming, right? Instead of for your, you know, your flagship line for cartridges, you call them like rest and chill and energy versus like giving them strain name. Do you feel people are more receptive to that? It's easier to understand, obviously, but at the same time, like, do you feel like the advanced connoisseur goes like, well, but I want to know what's the strain, or like, what's the reception there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, early on, Javier, we still do strain names, so they know the flavors or the profile strain names. But really early on, we kind of jumped into that mood-based categorization of our. So instead of an indica sativa hybrid, you know, we were really early launching an energy chill rest. And we just felt like as more consumers came into the space, and especially more recreational consumers, they might not be as cannabis knowledgeable as, you know, our initial customers, and they wouldn't understand what indica sativa hybrid meant. So again, back kind of like to that destigmatization of cannabis and that commercialization and making it more like a CPG product, we felt moving it to energies or moods would make the customer or the consumer really much better understand what they were going to be getting from the product versus, you know, having to be educated on indica sativa hybrid and remembering which one of those ties to, you know, sleeping versus getting energy versus kind of chilling. So again, everything we do, we want to really do it in a kind of a CPG fashion and make it easy for the consumer to be excited about the product and understand what they're getting and have a great experience with the product.
When it comes to the CPG and brand side, a couple of questions here. What's like your biggest obstacle in terms of between the relationship between the brand and the consumer? Like what's the communication gap there? I'm just curious, like, how do you come up with a product like an infused pre-roll versus a pre-roll? You know, like, what is the consumer base you're looking at? I'm just curious from a marketing perspective, since we're right in that vein in this show, how you choose to communicate and which products you choose to put out there.
Yeah, I mean, starting with the product side, Elliot, it's a great question. I mean, you know, we work with the sources that we have, right? So obviously cannabis is kind of maturing and you're seeing more data sources. So we absolutely look at the data from people like BDS or Alpine IQ, you know, or other kind of data formats. Obviously, they're all maturing and figuring out how to get as accurate as they can. And so, you know, we've got to take it with the best of what we got. And we've looked at every platform, and we've tried to kind of narrow in on the ones we can get the most information on. And then some of it is, you know, gut feeling, like, what are we hearing out from our customers? What are we seeing out in the market and being out there in the field, talking to our dispensary partners, you know, what's moving well, what is the customer wanting? But we try to kind of put all that together. And then, you know, being in it for 10 years, taking the kind of the knowledge we gained and saying, what's the right path? And that's how we've kind of looked and said, hey, you know, infused pre-rolls, this is a category, you know, we launched our infused pre-roll a year and a half ago now. And at that time, infused pre-roll, especially in Arizona, was almost non-existent. And now it's become such a huge category. So I think kind of looking at trends and what's going on, especially West going East, you know, and saying, hey, what's popular and how that usually spreads, and then jumping on that and trying to kind of put our own twist and make it our own and really bring it to life. I think as far as like challenges and communicating, I mean, I'm sure you guys know, like, we love to do lots of fun lifestyle, you know, marketing and do lots of off-premise events and sponsor different, you know, like Venice B-Ball League out here, or, you know, various activations out in the markets, and really get fun with the customers. And we want to tell that story in a bigger way. And we try to, and we absolutely do. But as you guys know, there's lots of limitations and restrictions on different social channels that a normal CPG company would activate, right? I mean, we are on Instagram, but have to be very careful about what we post on there. You know, right. We're on, you know, other channels, but are very, you know, restrictive. And so we've worked really hard to build up, you know, our own internal bases, like newsletter base and text base and things that we can directly communicate with the consumer any message we want, while also, you know, supplementing that with the channels and being careful to try to play within the rules of those channels to be able to bring it to life.
So that's awesome. Thank you for that. One quick follow-up here. When we look at how we are, you know, putting content out there, say for our conferences at Benzinga, we want to get larger CPG names involved that aren't cannabis-centric, right? We want to talk about the future of the crossover between, you know, certain cannabis segments, product segments, with maybe household CPG names and industries like cosmetics, like vape, like tobacco, like pharma, right? So, you know, maybe this is a conversation that is somewhat undercovered. Maybe it's the tobacco industry. I'm not sure. Maybe we should separate out the vape industry. But I'm curious, when it comes to your consumer base, are you also going to, or are you also targeting now, or are you eventually going to target this massive population in the U.S. that just vapes in general, not necessarily cannavapes, right? So is that on your agenda? Is that something that you think there is crossover, or am I reaching here a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's absolutely consumer crossover. I mean, if somebody is comfortable with vaping, you know, nicotine, I think, you know, that's an easier, you know, kind of crossover to vaping cannabis. So I think there is something to that, Elliot, you know, and I think, I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about this a lot on your podcast and look at this a lot. I mean, I think I would imagine big alcohol and tobacco, not just imagine. I mean, obviously some of them like Altria and Constellation have put their toes in the water in various ways. But I think all those, you know, those comps would say, hey, at some point when the legalities are correct and the, you know, the 280, like you guys talked about earlier, and all the various things that keep maybe some of the bigger players out now come in there, I would imagine they're all going to want to jump in. And people like alcohol and tobacco that already have tons of consumer data that they've stored, you know, to be able to tap into that or tap into even their sources over time as cannabis becomes, you know, more destigmatized and data companies come and start bringing that stuff. That's absolutely places we'd love to target and kind of say, hey, you know, how do we get more consumers on? I mean, I think legalization by itself is bringing lots of consumers, but mm-hmm. there's absolutely ways to grab a lot of new consumers as it becomes destigmatized and we can tap into those, you know, networks of data.
I mean, a little bit to close it up on my end, at least, I have two questions for you. And it's like, I'm trying to understand how your lifestyle brand and some of the things that relate to your lifestyle brand translate into the cannabis brand. One of them that I'm pretty interested in is your buy now, pay later program, right? Like where you can just split payments into or like split purchases into four payments. Is that applicable to cannabis products as well? Or is this something that is still not available for cannabis because of all these limitations that we're discussing?
Yeah, it's not available to cannabis today, Javier. I mean, obviously, I think being able to have people, you know, whether that become more, you know, being able to use their credit cards or buy now, pay later is going to absolutely be a big boom for cannabis because, you know, it is for every other industry. If you can put something on credit, you can buy more of it. That's like the American way.
You know, unfortunately, right? Like money is worth less every month, right? Like, which is something that America was not used to. But when you live in a country with inflation like mine, you understand that you know, buying something now and paying for it much later means it's cheaper.
100%. Like in my previous cannabis life, I had factories down in Argentina and Brazil, and so was very experienced with hyperinflation, for many, many years. But yeah, in this industry, or this you know, America today, absolutely, I think we're experiencing for a lot of people this level of inflation for the first time, and being able to use credit and things like that are very important to, you know, help keep buying power. And that's, you know, it's amazing to see the growth of cannabis without things like credit worthiness. But for us, the buy now, pay later is more around like the merchandise and all the fun stuff we do that is lifestyle related. You know, we have our flip cases that we do artist collabs with that store the pens and things that are not cannabis touching that we can offer credit and do things that are, you know, non-plant touching. We absolutely want to tap into that. You know, hopefully at some point we'll be able to, you know, we sell everything through our dispensary partners, so they really, you know, control kind of that side of it. But I think us and them all are looking forward to the day when you can give the consumer ability to buy more.
And then you beautifully touched on two of the topics that perfectly give me a segue to the second question I wanted to ask you. And it's about artist collaborations and your ties to Latin America, Argentina, almost Argentina. But you know, I see that many of your collabs on the lifestyle side are with Latino artists. Why is that? And again, are you translating any of these initiatives to the cannabis side?
Yeah, I mean, so the artist, you know, again, when we came up in that streetwear space, and so that collaboration has been, you know, fundamental to that to that industry, and so it's always been in our DNA. And early on, you know, again, we wanted to be part of the culture and the community of the markets we're in, and you know, fashion, food, sports, those things are all really part of every community and every culture, and giving back to community. And so we really want to make sure we're partnering with those best restaurants and cool restaurants in town and cool venue spaces and part of the sports, you know, scene and whatnot, skateboarders, golfers, all that stuff we love. I think on the artist side, that's really been a passion for us. You know, early on, we developed that flip case and we knew we love art. We knew a lot of local artists and did these collaborations with them. And it was a way to tell their story and build their brand, and at the same time build our brand and tell our story. And so we've always, you know, Javier said, hey, we want this to be very authentic, you know. So we have a gentleman that's an artist that runs our artist legacy program. He goes out to things like Art Basel or ThinkSpace and meets the artists and seeds them product. And if they like the product and they like the program and it's really something they're passionate about, then we really connect with them and make them part of the program and really, again, elevate our brand with them and elevate their brand with us and storytell, you know, why they got into art and how cannabis affects their art. And, you know, fortunately, we've been able to meet a diverse group of people, different artists, including, you know, Hispanic artists and Latin American artists and female artists and, you know, all kind of different cool artists. And like I said, the best part of the artist program is really telling the artist story and giving that consumer the ability to come in and say, wow, this is a really cool case and it looks cool and I can want to collect these. And that's a great kind of stickiness for us as a brand. But at the same time, them learning about the artist and really being like getting passionate about the artist is even cooler.
So I have two quick questions here. One right after the other, both positive, but one about Timeless Refinery, one not. We'll start with the latter there. Give me one company in the space that can't be Timeless Refinery that you think is doing it right. It's a model of, you know, this is how to be operationally efficient. This is how to communicate with customers, whatever it is. What is it, one other company in the space that you look to as like that? That's a well-run business.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we see all kind of different brands out there and obviously compete with them and have respect for a lot of them. I mean, there's, you know, big California brands like Stizzy and Jeter that we see every day and compete with and respect them. You know, we don't know them that well, so I don't know operationally what all that looks like, Elliot, but from a, you know, how to engage the consumer and how to tell a story and how to get people excited about the brand, I think, you know, they do a lot of the same stuff, you know, in different ways that we do to engage that consumer. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do, is get the consumer excited and come in and drive them to dispensary. So we are that valuable partner to our dispensary partners by getting people in the door and then having them, you know, choose our brands over others and choose them for not necessarily cost reasons, but because they care about the brand and they feel connected and like the product. You know, one brand that we really are high on that we know well, that we think operationally does a great job, very similar to us, how we go to new markets and how we set up and really operate and make sure we run lean and mean and continue to grow our business, is a couple edible companies, one called Grown out of Oregon, who we are really high on, Christine and Draper and their team, and think they do a great job and all check a lot of boxes, have a great product, but also really engage with that consumer. And same with another edible brand coming out of Arizona called OGs that's starting to go nationally as well. And again, very, very culturally similar to us, very operationally mindset similar to us, and think they do a good job of telling their brand story, maybe not in the same way we do, but in different ways that engage that consumer.
Phenomenal. That's a really nice in-depth answer. Thank you. And then what is one thing that gets you really excited about Timeless Refinery, either now or in the future? What's one thing that you're just like, keeps you up at night because you're so excited about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think getting the brand nationally is what we're super pumped about, right? We feel like we had a good 7-8 years in Arizona where we were totally focused on Arizona and got to really build the brand out and build something that we thought was special and build a playbook and build that culture and community stuff that we love in Arizona. And in 2019, we said, hey, we feel like we have this great playbook. Let's go out to these other markets, but let's do it in a local and authentic way. And we every market we go into, we bring a local team in that really, you know, grew up in that market just like we did in Arizona and understands the consumer and the market and the culture and that community of that market, and then give them the playbook and really help coach and support them on activating our playbook in a local way. And I think we've had so much fun doing it now in the 5 markets we're in, Elliot. And then we're super excited about, like, you know, we're going to be launching Illinois later this year, hopefully another state, a couple next year, of taking that same formula and bringing it to life with our team in those markets in that authentic local way and with that local culture and community. And it gives us a chance to see all these cool local cultures and communities outside of Arizona. You know, each market is so fun and unique. We go out to Kansas City now and they have such a great culture there in Missouri, and we get to experience it with our local team that's living it.
You know what I love about this? It just seems so enthralled in your messaging that you are striving to be a large brand and a large player in the space, but you care about the communication with each community you're in. And it just seems so ingrained in how you talk about your messaging that it's almost, you know, what we want to be hearing from other companies as well. So props to you guys, you know, for making that a focus. But Josh, it's really nice to connect with you. Thank you so much for being on today. I hope people will take a try for your products, because honestly, it's a fast growing company, which means that people are loving them. So congrats on all your success so far.
Thank you, Elliot. I appreciate you saying that and appreciate you guys having me on. And we always love coming out to your guys' conferences and supporting some Benzinga. So thank you guys.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you in September, man. Be well until then.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Double plug from our guest today. Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference is coming back to Chicago September 27 and 28. This is our third plug of the show, but the first one we are dropping. EasyCannabis.com. For more information, come join us. We have amazing speakers. I don't know which ones we can announce yet, so I'm not going to spoil it, but...
It's sick. We have here. Yeah, I'll say this:
it's your best lineup yet.
I'll say this: it's definitely up there, if not the best. We have two governors speaking at our event. That's all I'll say for this. Two governors speaking at our event, and we're not done yet. That's all I'll say. It's exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come meet Josh. Come meet Howard. Two amazing, amazing gents in this industry, and meet all the stocks, all the companies that you're looking at to invest in, to partner with. To consume, they're there. Come see us there, bzcannabis.com, and get all your news from Javier Haas throughout the day, bzcannabis.com/cannabis.
I heard Josh is bringing some of his swag. I know we can't give away cannabis products, but
I think that's a direct ask straight to Josh. Please bring Javi some swag.
Oh, yeah. Man, big fan of the lifestyle brand. And I should say, I love the cannabis brand usually more. You know, it's my job, but... I'm into timeless finery. Quality is timeless, but style is also timeless.
Oh, amen. Javier, you're timeless, you Argentinian action figure, you. All right, you guys, I think we're set for the day. Really some great content. Let us know if you liked it. Let us know if you hated it. Subscribe to our podcast. Rate us. Tell us what you like, what you want to hear, and we'll put it in. We appreciate you all listening and watching, and we'll be back again on Tuesday, 1 Eastern time, for another amazing interview with an up-and-coming company out of the Southwest. We'll see you then. Peace.